Man, grateful for covering an addict named Felicia. Like, getting really emotional right now. This program has allowed me to feel. This is a privilege, you know, coming around, man, sitting in meetings and be like, oh, I want to do that. Oh, I want to do that. And I thank the area for asking me to come share my experience, dreams, and hopes. You know, this morning or last night, it was told to me another surrender. And I thought it said continued surrender. But my HP, since January, that word has been my passwords for the computer at work, because I tend to change my passwords. So when somebody asked me to, I think you need to do this workshop. And I hesitated, and but I know they say when you're asked to do something and nothing else is planned to do it. And I hesitated all the way up to this morning. I was sitting in my car at 6 o'clock this morning, and I said, and the person that rode with me to help me drive was could hear the hesitation, but I'm glad that I came. And that they talked all the way here, so I ain't had to be all up in my head. Man, this journey started a long time ago. I was defiant. I was rebellious. You know, everything mommy told me not to do, I did contrary to what she said do. And when I looked the definition up again today, it said being defiant, like going opposite or something. I done forgot what I just read a few minutes ago, because I truly asked God just to let me be a vessel to share the message of hope. And I'm nervous, y'all, for real. God. Man, I've been in and out this program and for a long time. And the information was installed. I wasn't ready for the thing they call application. You know, I was attracted to a whole lot of the other stuff. I like the cars. I like how they sound real good. I like the men. And I like some of the behaviors that I still had. I wasn't really ready to let them go. So I tend to come in and out, in and out. And I really thought I was different and unique. Because the old time would say, we did this for you. You ain't got to do this. And I said, oh, no, I'm different. At that time, I didn't know I had reservations. But each time that I continued to go out, I dug the hole deeper and deeper and deeper. And I really had a desire. I wanted to, but I just wasn't willing to change some stuff. And today I can say, I ain't want to admit I was no damn addict, bottom line. You know, they stereotype us so, like we so harsh. So I continue to go in and out, accumulate clean time, and was a model, you know, I could stay clean in transitional housing and halfway houses, but this once I had to come out and live, not under no structure, my own. I ran a lot on my own will, my own thinking, and my own behaviors. I knew, but man, that journey was, and I'm grateful for it because it got me here today. It took a long time to to surrender to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I had to accept that I was sick. My last run was on March 26, 2004. And I ain't want to feel the way I felt. You know, I was in the hospital. I had just come off an 18-month relapse. I had a 3-year-old son. And I was up in the hospital, and the nurse asking me all kinds of questions. Ma'am, or have you used drugs? And I had just come off a binge. And I was scared to death. Because for some reason, I couldn't use the information that was given to me to stop. So for 9 months, I ran with that baby in my stomach. And for 3 days, Miami attic sack had broke. So I was sticking whatever was necessary in my crotch to top the water. But I couldn't stop. Then the pain got so great that I knew I had to go to the hospital. Y'all women may know I had contractions going all up my back. And you talking about some guilt and shame. When that lady sitting there asking me some questions, that was the first part of surrender, because I had to get real honest. In the state that I was in at that time, because I'm a type of addict that thought geographical cures was going to work, but they told me back then I ain't listen. I thought I was different, that no matter where you go, you take you with you. I said, mm-hmm. I came around in the era where they used a lot of cliches. And a lot of times, that's something greater than me that I hold on to.
That's right, that's right.
They keep me, it has helped to keep me clean. And that was the first level of surrender at that time when I got honest and said, yes, I have used. And I had been crying out for some help. But the help he was sending me, I ain't know how to accept it. And this little voice said to me, it's like, man up now. Time to man up. It's time to take some responsibility. And by some grace, they locked me up and somebody took my baby. My mother had already came and got my son, because at that time I was living in another state. And the journey began. The information was always there. I just ain't know how I use it. And the most simplest thing they told me was, you don't pick it up, it won't get in you. It took 20-something years. You don't pick it up, it won't get in you. That's for the drugs. And I just started doing what they said for me to do. And I called on my God. All I heard was, I can, he can, so let him. And that was 1, 2, and 3. And all I used to say every morning was, take my will and my life, show me how to live. Because I had a 3-year-old and a newborn baby. And the disease of addiction crawling up my back, telling me to go get high. Because I had did some damage. I had burned some bridges. Because I had came in this process 1989. So we in 2004. People about tired of me. People about tired of me. And I was tired of me. Because I knew I ain't had to continue to live like that, but sometimes it was just so easy. So I had to surrender to some stuff. I had to let some stuff go. So a lot of stuff they said, pray, don't pick up, go to meetings, reach out. And then it was a whole lot of people that had been in my life through in and out this process that didn't give up on me. They was my hope. And I seen them go through some stuff. And I'm like, wait, man, they doing this thing, why can't I? And then through the process, going through out there in the world, right, I seen a whole lot of mamas, you know, do stuff to the kids, or the kids get neglected. And all I can hear in my head is, I don't want my kids, nobody be telling my kids, your mama a crackhead, or your mama a bum. And I know that I come from good breed. And I ain't gonna say my family was no dysfunctional. They just was working with what they had. You know, establishing relationship with my grandmother, I understand. You know, they loved me the way that they knew how to love me. And sometimes they love me a little bit too damn much, because they made a whole lot of them supposed to have been ends a lot softer and enabled me And but I came back and I started doing the things that was necessary. And I was in another state. And then I came back to Maryland. This July be like 10 years ago. And it took me on a whole nother journey. And when I came back to Frederick, most of the people that I knew were still using. In some form or fashion, I knew I ain't want to use. So I ran in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And I wasn't no newcomer, but I was in a whole new area, and a whole lot of people ain't know me, but it was some people that I had ran with that I seen, and it made me feel more comfortable. So I had, I walked around with a whole lot of masks, mean, but at the time, I had to look for a job. But I knew I had an interview. I sent the resume in on a Thursday. I moved to Frederick on a Saturday. I had a phone call on a Tuesday. But after that interview, I still had to wait. So I'm filling out job applications and people rejecting me. Two interviews because I got a felony conviction. You know, so the self-esteem wasn't feeling real good. So majority of the time, all I knew how to do when I felt was use something. I knew I ain't want to use no drugs, so my other drug of choice is a man or go shopping. But I ain't had no money to go shopping because I just relocated to a new area. So I go up in the meetings talking about how I might want to do somebody or the old tricks because some of them said they was friends, but they was tricks because you paid me afterwards. And I just ain't want to do that no more either. But I kept showing up and I started meeting friends. I found a sponsor. And I started doing some work because she started me all the way back to the beginning. And I was scared not to. Because every time I would get to the fourth step for some reason, Felicia would run. But the bottom line was I really and truly wanted to know who the hell I was. And they told me that the steps would peel layers. And I started doing some work. And I had two children, and I moved in with my mother for a period of time. Then I got in a relationship. That took me on a whole nother new journey, too. But the bottom line is that through me doing some step work, I had to start surrendering to some principles. So to each step that I work, I learned about the principles. And that gave me some freedom. I had to, I asked him to use me as a vessel, right? And this is where he taking me at. Man, getting a job, the child support coming, you know, I had more money. So we did a lot of shopping. Because at one point in time, I ain't had that money before. I was in school, I had the kids. So it felt real good to have the little extra stuff, and I was able to dress the outside up a little bit to make me feel a little bit better. I lied, because I did that in the beginning too on the journey. And then the income stayed the same and stuff started becoming more expensive, right? But I still wanted to spend. And then being in an unhealthy relationship, I ain't gonna say it was unhealthy. I just made some choices, but I ain't finding necessary to use no drugs. You know, I like to run shit too. So I had some control issues. You don't do what I want you to do how I want you to do it. I became abusive, for real. What was done to me, I started doing to somebody else clean. And I had to look at some stuff. I would go on powwows, and my daughter sitting over there be like, "We going manhunting again?" I had to cease. They would see me jump out of cars, right, and I mean, like, fight. We ain't never seen nothing like that. And I'm clean, you know. This just not for me, this for them too. But I'm showing them some real negative behavior. That ain't cool. I come out of the household where the daddy beat the mom, and I thought that thing was all right. So I allowed some men to beat on me too. But then when the gash in the head got too big and the pain got great, I moved on about my business. So we're having some people in my life. Felicia, that ain't cool. It talk about, you know, breaking a cycle and some step work. I'm clean, but I'm having behaviors of active addiction, that we experience an addiction. So it's like surrendering to something. You got to stop the cycle. You showing her something and you showing him something. And we talking about little kids, the arguing and the fussing. So if you're having a conversation, they jumping because they think I'm getting ready to zap out. Like, whoa. The mouth very abusive. And then a whole lot of days balled up in the knot. Because I'm hurting and I ain't want to tell no damn body. And I'm walking around like I'm fine. And I'm hurting. And they started giving me the help. I ain't know how I apply it, you know. I ain't want to be by myself. At one point, at that time, I just thought that was all I was worthy of. As time go on, as I mentioned earlier, cost of living goes up, but the paycheck ain't going up too much. And I'm in a whole lot of pain. We talking about that emotional unmanageability, where I get to shopping like crazy, unnecessary stuff. I go to the auction and buy stuff. Thinking I'm going to resell it. You know, when $20 and $30 or $40, you think you're getting up, it adds up. Or I'm buying them things. Because mommy ain't really living real good and comfortable like she's supposed to. And I said breaking some cycles. You know, that's how my mother and them did me. They gave me things. I ain't get hugs and I love you. That's what, and I started doing the same thing. Because sometimes I'd be so upset. I took you to practice. I tried to be the best mother, quote unquote, as I could. But sometimes they come over and they coming off a 3-day run. I may lay up in the bed with them and not spend no time with my kids. Because I want to nurse and nurture them. They say carry the message, not the addict. I was trying to carry the addict and keep him clean. But in the own process too, y'all, because I had my own selfish motives. Because when they did me real good when they was under the influence. And I kind of liked it. And my story is I've always messed with other people, men. And I like the old heads. I ain't never liked the thing of commitment. So I seen you when I seen you. I ain't had to spend, they was gone. With them, they went on home or wherever they went at. And then I had a daddy that was just like that. He loved me and mommy, but he was a womanizer too. Because he would take me to the girlfriend house on Sunday, where the family be together on Sunday and had dinner. He'd take me to his girlfriend house, and we had family dinner at her mother's house or something. Like, I ain't going to go back and tell my mother. So it was like identifying with some stuff, trying to break the cycle. Like, letting go, stop fighting. You know, where the finances got bad, I bought, like $1,000 worth of overdrafts to the bank. We talking about taking a hit. No damn car insurance. Little yellow signs going up on the door, and baby boy coming home and a sign on the door because the rent late. And justifying it. And how cunning and baffling my disease is, I walk around with the money for the rent in my damn wallet. Because I don't want to let it go. Or indirectly, somewhat I know today, that thing trying to get me to use. So it'll be accessible to me. Then being in the house 2 years, they telling me to move out. They not renewing my lease for me being late. You talking about a humble piece? And having to move back in my mother, because see, I tried to get in the shelter wouldn't even accept me. We don't have any vacancy. Every application I put in is denied. And we talking about applying some principles then, because of humility. I want to cuss y'all out. I've been on my job such and such amount of time. You know, this how much I'm making. Well, you ain't responsible. What the hell you doing? Fess up. You know, you ain't pay them people your rent when you're supposed to pay the rent. So that you got, they put you, you want a piece of somewhere, wherever that thing is. And, but God set me still for about 3 months and moved me back in the house with my mother. And you talking about humbling experience. But she made me pay rent. Half of whatever I paid, my monthly expenses was had to go to her. You don't live in her house for free. But I had to hear a whole lot of things because I've changed, but my mother ain't changed. So what come out her mouth may not sound real good to be cutting. Because no matter how long I've been in this process, I did a lot of damage to her too. So she still has her trust issues. Or why you ain't got no money? Why your money like that? I can't get mad. That's my track record. 20-some years I've been using and not using. And I have to be mindful how I would talk to her. Because my babies was in the house. Because I don't want them talking to me like that. Or talking to her like that. But I got a few minutes. And they talking about another level of surrender. I'm going to tell you where I'm at today. I got a 16-year-old son. And you talk about looking in the mirror. Like being real angry because he been doing it for a minute. I'm going to be in denial like I wasn't seeing little signs. But then how the disease had progressed. And I'm like, wait a minute. In the beginning, being very angry. And I had to identify with, I'm angry because his ass high as hell. And I was like, that shit look that good. I can't get high. Oh, yes, I had the choice. I choose not to today. I like how I live. I want to show him how to live that lifestyle. I thought. My disease telling me that. But something brought me back to sanity. Like, your mother ain't teach you that way. You're not going to teach him that way. If he learns, he'll learn the same way. But I got to remember, I've raised him. And I've installed some good morals and values in him. And he's making some all right decisions. He's still going to school every day. He passed. His report card was all right. He passed. But I can't stop him. I done cut his money off. I give him $2-3. Y'all, he's still coming in high. All I can continue to be is a powerful example for him. He grew up in here. Because he was hitting this stuff on me, trying to manipulate me with it. You talk about some compassion, because I want to beat him down. You are my child. I take care of you. How dare you? So having a little peace, I have some faith in this program and some trust in my God. The one that carried me all the way here, going to carry him. I got to endure the journey with them. But and not sugarcoating his stuff, because I'm going to be real. First, I done went and bought the roly things for him, because he's standing outside the store looking crazy, trying to get somebody to buy it. Then something said, you send him a mixed message. Him and his boy sit out on the porch and said, nah, you can't do that either. That's not what I stand for.
Right. That's right.
And I just got to walk with him, you know, and just continue to, for me to show up. I keep showing up, and I don't use. And when I felt like sitting at the table with him, getting the package and letting them sell the shit, because you taking my money, give it to somebody else, or actually getting real honest with me, he can maybe live my fantasy out for me, because, see, I couldn't be it. Because I got the disease of addiction. I can live it through you. How insane. How insane. This shit is cunning, baffling, and insidious. It's trying to get me high. He be upstairs smoking weed. I be in my room with my drink and my whatever my drug of choice will be. Because they got so much new shit out. I don't want to use our coming out. And I tell y'all, because before, I ain't tell y'all, because I ain't want y'all to stop me. The day, I don't want to use. And if I keep it a secret, that's me holding, on to a reservation. No. And I was going to make him get in the car with me today. I said, no. And I sent him a nice text, y'all, right before I came in here. Conduct yourself accordingly, please. You know, be the young man that I've raised you to be. Don't have 20 niggas up. I ain't said 20. They be piled up. My house, the clubhouse. I done called the sheriff. What can I do? So if they come to my door with probable cause, it's on recording that I've called. I've asked y'all for some assistance. Before, I wouldn't have did that because I'm trying to cover. Well, guess what? If you with them and the police come here, you're going with them. And that's some hard stuff. And I ain't leaving with no, wait a minute. No, I gave $5 before I left the house. I'm grateful for the opportunity. Grateful for the gift of life that he gave me, chance after chance after chance after chance. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to close with this. They told me I couldn't have no kids. I'm 50 years old. I had my baby at 35, the first one. He gave them to me, and her at 38. He gave them to me for a reason. And I know that whatever I go through, if I apply the principles of this program, I can go through. Because for so long, I always went around, under, beneath. Walk through. Because when I get over one hurdle, I seen that I could get over it. Yeah. When I got over the other one, I seen that I could get over it clean. And how would I know that it works if I don't go through nothing? I thought I was supposed to be peachy and keen.
Yeah.
I did. I thought this shit was supposed to be, oh, I'm clean. I'm clean. Don't y'all know I'm in recovery now? They be like, really? They could give two hoots. You should have been doing it. I'm grateful. And thanks for allowing me to share.
Thank you.